always here to inform you. Dakota Country, KOKK in Huron.
With the Saturday morning scoreboard, I'm Jeff Duffy on Dakota Sports KOKK. Two scores to report from last night. State High School Football Championships continued yesterday. In the 11B Championship in Vermilion yesterday afternoon, a battle of unbeatens. Winner in Bridgewater Emory Ethan, also a rematch of last year's championship game. Game went down to the wire, and winner avenged their loss last year. They defeat Bridgewater Emory Ethan 18-14. Bridgewater Emory Ethan had a chance. They were down to the 20 on the final play of the game, but the pass was knocked away, and winner comes out with the victory. Then last night in 11AA, Pierre made it four straight in a row. Pierre actually coming in as an underdog last night, but they controlled the game beginning to end and defeated undefeated Brookings 38-6. Pierre finishes the season 9-2, and Brookings suffers their only loss of the season as they finish at 11-1. Final two championship games are coming up today. Afternoon will be the 11A championship, 2 o'clock kickoff. T is undefeated at 10-0. Canton, the defending champion, is 8-2. Then tonight at 7 o'clock, 11AAA, we'll have Brandon Valley 8-1 against Harrisburg, who is 7-3. That will cap off the high school football season here in South Dakota. Couple of announcements to pass along for Huron Tiger basketball. Girls basketball will have a parent player meeting tomorrow night at 7 o'clock in the middle school gym. One parent and all the athletes must attend the meeting. This is for grades 9 through 12. Masks are required at the meeting. And again, that's for Huron Tiger girls basketball tomorrow night. Huron Tiger boys basketball will hold their meeting for all players grades 9 through 12 and their parents Monday night at 6 o'clock at the middle school commons. Enter through the main door, sit only as a family unit, and again, please, everybody wear a mask. That's for Huron girls and boys basketball. Coming up next here on Dakota Sports Saturday, we're going to be talking state tournament volleyball. Jordan Opp, the head coach of the Hitchcock Tulare Patriots, they're in the Class B tournament for the first time as Hitchcock Tulare. They got there once back in the 90s as Hitchcock. We'll talk with Huron Tiger volleyball coach Shelley Budenhagen. Huron making their 12th consecutive trip, now the longest streak in AA, going to the state tournament in Brookings next week. And then we'll wrap up the show talking with Scott Spanton, head coach Huron Tiger football, as he recognizes the 12 seniors that were on the Huron Tiger roster this past season. That's our Dakota Sports Saturday show. That's coming up next here on KOKK.
Just imagine the body weight you always wanted, better health, being stronger, having more energy, an overall feeling of well-being. The first step is the Nordby Center for Recreation. Tour the facility, pick up a schedule of activities, and find out information on the membership that best fits your needs. Wellness, health, weight control, strength, and boosted metabolism. They can all be achieved at the Nordby Center. Join one of Huron's best-kept secrets, the Nordby Center for Recreation in Huron.
With nearly 130 stores in 12 states, Slumberland has the buying power to bring you the best values from the nation's top furniture brands. Slumberland is America's number one dealer for Lazy Boy furniture. Slumberland is also the Midwest's largest retailer for Sealy, Simmons, Stearns & Foster, and Tempur-Pedic mattresses. Slumberland of Huron is completely locally owned and operated. Our staff, including sales and delivery, is made up entirely of your neighbors in Huron. So for the best brands at the best prices, along with truly local service, turn to Slumberland Furniture of Huron.
You've got Dakota Sports.
We're back on Dakota Sports Saturday talking some state volleyball Class B tournament coming to Huron this coming Thursday, and representing the 281 Conference is the Hitchcock Tulare Patriots as they advanced this past Tuesday in defeating Ipswich in order to get to the state tournament. Jordan Opp is their head coach. And Jordan, first off, let's just kind of give a little background on this program. Hitchcock Tulare has never hit this height before. I know Hitchcock themselves got there probably about 25 years ago, but obviously pretty exciting for the school and the program.
Yeah, you know, the school and community is pretty excited. You know, I had, like, a lot of people text me, a lot of people emailing me. We haven't, you know, we talked about it, that Hitchcock back, made his last day tournament was just Hitchcock back in 1994, and we've never been to a state volleyball tournament otherwise than that. You know, even when we consolidated, now it's Hitchcock Chile, this will be the first appearance.
Well, now, first things first, and this is a standard question for every coach I talked to this year. On August 15th, you had no assurances we would even get to this point.
Right. You know, we started out the season. We had two goals in mind. We talked about finishing the season with the COVID, you know, getting the whole season in. And then the second goal is to make the state tournament, and we're right there now. You know, we're in it next week, and next week, Thursday, is staying healthy.
Well, let's talk about this team, and I guess first things first, you knew coming in that you had a chance to make a run. You did lose one senior off last year's team, an important one at that, but you knew because of that you had a pretty good nucleus back and could set up for this.
Correct. We lost Elizabeth Solomon last year, our lone middle senior, middle hitter, I guess, but then it also opened the door for our eighth grader, Caitlin Schrader. She made the jump from right from junior high into a starting varsity spot. She's just been outstanding for us. Just a great middle hitter up front. She plays in the back row. Just great movement in the back row. Did a lot of balls up. And then obviously you talked about our senior nucleus. We basically play five out of the six seniors. We got Dan Pearson on the right side. She's left. She's just a great athletic, person to have. She hits the ball, off that right side, has a great, she's hitting like a 303 attack right now, plays all the way around, has a great block. We look at her to set the block up. Candy Enanders, our center, she runs the offense. She's been with us for 4 years. Just makes a lot of great sets off of passes that sometimes aren't the best. And then we have Ashley Massett in the other middle, just a tall, about 6 foot middle. Another good blocker and then hitter, and then we got Kathy Johnson on the outside, and then Caitlin Ratchins, our other senior. She's a leaver. She's getting better every match also.
And give us a little bit of your background. We visited with us a little bit before we started the interview. You've been a Hitchcock Tulare a long time, but boy, you came in with very little knowledge of volleyball. But they offered you the head coaching position. One, you wanted to coach. Two, you wanted a job. And so you kind of jumped right into the fire.
Right. I took the program over 15 years ago. And, you know, at the time, Denise Pearson, a lot of people know her. She still lives in the area. She drives her buses to every match. But she was my assistant coach. And she kind of took me under her wing a little bit and showed me the ropes a little bit. Got me familiar with the game of volleyball. And then, you know, I went to a lot of clinics, you know, every year. They have coaches' clinics every summer, every spring. You know, I talked to a lot of other coaches, Linda DeBoer, Kerry Jung. You know, those type of coaches helped me out tremendously early on. And, you know, I still bounce ideas off them too, especially on stuff that we can do or try something different. So, but, yeah, it's been a ride for sure. And like I said, it's been a long time coming.
And this team, just give some general ideas on it. You did lose the first set to Ipswich in that SODAC match, but then took the next three. So, you know, Ipswich does have some postseason experience, especially in the sport of basketball. So it was nice to see the girls, you know, once they got that through that first set, okay, now we settled down and just took control from there.
Right. We came out set one a little nervous, I think. I think we lost by 6 points, and I count back. I think we missed three serves, and we had two in the net calls that actually Ipswich hit, and the ball went out. So I mean, there's about your 5 or 6 points that you gave up there. But you know, once we got past that one, we started playing with them a little bit better, and you know, they were on our tips. They were on our tips. They were throwing the tips at us a lot of the times, and so then we ended up adjusting to that and seemed to shut them down that way.
We're talking with Jordan Opp, head coach of the Hitchcock Tulare Patriots, as they are in the Class B tournament here at the Huron Arena starting next Thursday. Your opponent, you got the number 7 seed. The 2 seed is Warner, and I think anybody that knows anything about South Dakota volleyball knows about that program, the strength that they've had. They've had a couple of years where they were just virtually unbeatable. They're the number 2 seed, obviously. You played them twice. Warner won both. The first was a 3-set sweep, but then just a few weeks ago, you played them a second time, a 5-setter. So hopefully that shows your girls something right there.
Right. When I was, looking toward, I wasn't always overlooking, but I wanted, we always look at potential matchups in the state tournament. I saw that, we would probably be the 17 and probably take the Warner squad on. And I felt pretty good. I feel pretty good about that matchup coming in. Like we said, we took them to 5 here the last time. We had our chances in the 5th set. Was not as consistently playing like we should have been. And I think, they all say it's hard to beat a team 3 times. Hopefully that's cliche as we go in there next week. I know for a fact, I haven't talked to Coach Chung, but I can about imagine she probably doesn't want to face us right now.
And finally, just wrap things up with this. I've had coaches tell me many times over the years, when it comes to the end of a season, you're only as good as your seniors with the bunch you have. I'm sure you just kind of throw the reins to them, say, okay, let's carry this through.
Yeah, correct. And I kind of said that, Tuesday night against Ipswich in the Sodak 16, a couple of my seniors said, okay, take care of business here. This is what you guys have been playing for all year. Take care of business, get it done, and that's exactly what a couple of them did. Ashley Massett, I thought, played her best match of the year. Tuesday night, she had 10 kills, and of course, Deanna Pearson comes along with 11 kills, and really picked the other ones up, so that was great to see.
Jordan Opp is head coach of the Hitchcock Tulare Patriots. The Patriots defeated Ipswich in 4 sets this past Tuesday. And they're now in the State B basketball tournament. They will be at the Huron Arena next Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. Their opening match, Thursday night, final match of the first round at about 7 o'clock against the Warner Monarchs. And we do plan to have the Hitchcock Tulare matches on the air next Thursday, Friday, and Saturday on KOKK. Still more to come, Dakota Sports Saturday.
Dakota Sports on KOKK is your number one home of high school sports.
The girls' Class B volleyball tournament is returning to the Huron Arena Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. The Hitchcock Tulare Patriots are the number 7 seed. They will play 2nd seed Warner in the final match of the day Thursday. 6:40 with the pre-match, 7 o'clock with the start. Hitchcock Tulare at the State B volleyball tournament on Dakota Sports.
Just imagine the body weight you always wanted, better health, being stronger, having more energy, an overall feeling of well-being. The first step is the Nordby Center for Recreation. Tour the facility, pick up a schedule of activities, and find out information on the membership that best fits your needs. Wellness, health, weight control, strength, and boosted metabolism. They can all be achieved at the Nordby Center. Join one of Huron's best-kept secrets, the Nordby Center for Recreation in Huron.
With nearly 130 stores in 12 states, Slumberland has the buying power to bring you the best values from the nation's top furniture brands. Slumberland is America's number one dealer for Lazy Boy furniture. Slumberland is also the Midwest's largest retailer for Sealy, Simmons, Stearns & Foster, and Tempur-Pedic mattresses. Slumberland of Huron is completely locally owned and operated. Our staff, including sales and delivery, is made up entirely of your neighbors in Huron. So for the best brands at the best prices, along with truly local service, turn to Slumberland Furniture of Huron.
You're tuned to Dakota Sports on KOKK.
And we're back on Dakota Sports Saturday. Let's talk more volleyball. Here on Tiger head coach Shelley Buddenhagen. Here on Tigers back at the AA tournament for a 12th consecutive year as they cruise in 3 sets over the Sturgis Scoopers on Thursday night at the arena in the Sodak 16. And Shelley, just a few comments on that. Felt like girls were pretty much in charge all the way. The last half of the third set, even more than half, you played the JV and they played through to the end. So everybody got on the floor and feeling good going into state.
Yeah, I was really happy. With how the kids handled everything, and it's not always easy. The seating, you hope the PowerPoints work, but when a team comes in that's had pretty good success throughout the season, and Sturgis did, and they're hungry, and you haven't seen them, and they play a different style. You can be a little bit nervous, and I was nervous, and I think the girls were too, because they know that, you know, it's one and done. But you know, and we were prepared, and the scout team that got to play in the third set, they're always preparing the varsity, and they could probably run our opponents' offenses almost as well as our opponents do. So I was just really happy for the whole entire group, the whole squad that put a ton of hours in, and it was just good for the. It was just good to see them, I guess, reap some benefits and then have fun playing a sport that they love.
And then just one more thing, too, on playing the JV. You did that on Thursday of last week, too, against Pierre. And for people that don't know some of the inner workings of volleyball, it's not like basketball where you empty the bench. There's some work that goes into getting extra girls on the floor like that. And I did notice the R2, the town official, was visiting with our scorekeepers quite a bit there in that third set.
Well, if you watch upper-level volleyball like a college, they do not sub. They just do not. It doesn't matter the score. It doesn't matter the situation. They do not sub. And one of the reasons why it's hard to sub in volleyball is that there's such a small space, and you've got to have a really good relationship with those six moving in a 30 by 30 small space. It's only 900 square feet that six people are moving, and they've got their own responsibilities and roles. And there's you got to know the person that you're playing next to. And if you make even one sub, that can change the whole flow and the momentum, and it's scary because in volleyball, it seems once you lose the momentum, it's really hard to get the momentum back. But that's one thing that you know, I was a basketball player in high school and college, and when I first started coaching volleyball, I knew a little, but I didn't know a lot. And when I was watching college and trying to learn from that level and have it trickle down, I just noticed they didn't sub. And that was hard as a basketball coach because there's always windows, you know, in sports, there's always windows for subbing, or you need a substitution for a minute so somebody can catch their breath. In football, you've got the special team that you can put kids in, and it's just really hard to explain. But in volleyball, we do not sub. So when we do sub, there's a couple things. Number one, you have to trust that the kids know each other, and the person that you're putting in or the people you're putting in know their roles and responsibilities, and they're able to get it done and keep the flow. And I know that's hard because we don't base subbing on time clock. You know, you go, okay, in basketball, this person played 18 minutes and this one played 12. We don't have that. So I was, you know, I'm super proud of those kids that when they go in, they understand that we don't expect a downswing or a loss in momentum. We expect them to get the job done, basically, and they take upon that on themselves with a whole lot of heart. And I think that comes from practice, where there's a lot of pride on that scout team, and there's a lot of expectations out of that scout team. And so when they hit the court, they're prepared, and they know what they want to do, and I'm just so proud of the scout team. They don't get a lot of the headlines or the paper printings or anything like that, but they're the heart and soul of this team on many, many occasions.
Well, let's look at the state tournament coming up here next week, and I guess the first thing is we touched on it during the post-match, Rapid City-Stevens, just an awful situation there where they had been to 21 consecutive state tournaments but had to forfeit to Harrisburg due to distance learning and COVID issues, and it now gives the Huron Tigers the longest streak. We've been to 12 state tournaments in a row, and well, you feel bad for Rapid City-Stevens. You still want to remark, though, that it's pretty good and shows you where our program has been.
Well, first of all, regarding the Rapid City-Stevens situation, I just feel so badly. What a terrible, awful situation. I think, you know, honestly, when we look at this streak now, you know, I rather would have be in the longest streak position, having really earned it, where maybe they would go to Harrisburg and Harrisburg would beat them. And I think that would make me feel a little bit better about the whole thing. I just can't imagine what those kids and what that the coaching staff is going through. What a grieving process that you'd have to go through. It's something that you can't even fathom. I can't fathom it, that all of a sudden you get a phone call and you're saying you are not playing. Because all season you work for the ending, right? And their story really doesn't have the ending that they deserve or that you would hope for. However, we're in a pandemic, and this is a matter of life and death. And so it's hard to fathom, but you know, the school is doing what they feel is the right thing to do to keep people safe and healthy. But I feel terrible for them. But then regarding our streak, that 12 years, that's a long grind. And the other night when we talked about it, I thought it was 11. I kind of had lost track in there. And I hope that's not because I'm old, but I just don't keep the score that way. I just, you know, each season it's what can this team do? And so, yeah, I think that's something that this program are really proud of. And, I think that really bodes the theme Tradition Never Graduates really well. We take a lot of pride in that, and we know that there's tradition in this program and that they're part of something very special. And so, yeah, 12 is a good number.
Well, let's look at next week, 5:00, Brandon Valley. Just played them a week and a half ago in that big match for a piece of the ESD championship. We had the big rally in the fifth set to win. This is going to be a tough one again. We just played 5 sets a week and a half ago. There's no reason to think this won't be another tight one.
Well, our matchups are very, very good. Their outsides can dominate. One of their outsides is Brooklyn Grage, who's 6'1", and it's tough to guard her. It's tough to deflect any balls. It's tough to block her. And the other one, Taylor Steeman, is very athletic, very fast, and very quick. And then their middle game is very active. Their setter, I think, is really good. And then their opposites, Hannah Parliament, probably hurt us more than we were anticipating. And one of their middles, Morgan Hunt, we weren't ready for either. I mean, we knew that they were pretty good, but when they brought it to us in real life, it was a whole different ballgame than what we saw in film. And they're on their home court. It's for the ESD championship. I think all the advantage was towards them. This time we're going to be in a neutral court, and I know we can play better. I thought we passed pretty well that night, but if you talk to our passers, Bryn Huber, Maddie Huber, McKenna, and Brooke, they're going to tell you we can do better, and we are going to do better. And I just think there's things that we can do better. But, they're definitely going to have the fire lit under themselves because they probably feel like they should have won it. They probably feel like we stole it from them. That kind of motivation goes a long way, and that's something that we're going to have to contend with. And we're already talking about how are we going to match that. And then, I'm sure it stung them a little bit that we celebrated the ESD championship in their school, and so I think the motivation will swing towards them, but at the same time, we're going to have to be able to play really good volleyball, and they're a very good team with a lot of power. It's going to be one of those where they're going to hit the ball down, and then we're going to hit the ball down, and we just can't hang our heads or let something bother us like that. And I thought we did a pretty good job of that last time we played them, and we just didn't get too rattled in certain situations, and obviously the big comeback will show that, but I think we can play better. I think the girls want to play better. It's going to be a great matchup. I think any team, O'Gorman obviously is one of the top teams. They're the ones that are an unbelievable team. But yet maybe they're ripe for a loss. I mean, it's a long grind to go 20-0 in a season. Somewhere there's going to be a loss, we think. You always expect that. So I think right now, honestly, Jeff, I think it's anybody's tournament. And any team that can get hot in those 3 days, not get rattled with the COVID business, and just play some good volleyball, 3 consistent matches, any team at this point has a good chance.
Well, we'll go to another subject here, and ESD All-Conference was announced on Thursday right before the match with Sturgis. We had 3 selections, all seniors, and I'll just have you talk a little about each. We'll start off with Brooke Shields, number 20, her first selection.
Yeah, I'm really happy for Brooke. Her size at 5'9", 5'10", we're not even really sure how tall she is. She keeps growing. She's probably 5'10 right now. She brings a lot of power to the back pin. She's gotten really good back there. She can adjust her feet really quickly to almost any kind of set. And she's just hitting at a high hitting efficiency right now. But she's just got a lot of weapons. She's worked on her range where she can hit cross court. She can hit thumbs down. She can do a lot of things. And then her blocking, I think, has been one of the most improved things coming down the stretch here. And she's worked hard to get better at that. And then, at her height and her size, you don't see a lot of passers passing the ball like she has had to do. Most teams, they put their outsides as their passers. We're in a situation where she's, one of our better passers, and she's just had to get better and better at it, and she's made a remarkable improvement, and she's one of our primary passers. Defensively, you'll see her now pick up a lot more balls and a lot more plays and digs in that back row than she's ever had. So she's a very big impact player for us. I've often told people that we play like Brooke plays, and if she is playing well, I think it's going to be a pretty good night for the Tigers.
Then the next selection, first selection again for Libby Rounds.
Yeah, Libby, last season really started coming on at the end of the season. In fact, her state tournament, she was dominant. And she's been working at her speed, at her footwork. And when she's in matches, she dominates. I mean, when we can get that ball in system, which we have been doing more and more, early in the season, maybe Libby was quiet offensively. That was just because we weren't in system. We couldn't get that ball up to Tenley in a place where Libby could run a quick offense. And our offense, maybe Tenley's calling the plays in the serve receipt set, but once we are rolling and the ball's live, Libby is starting that offense. So a lot of those plays that you're seeing, it's based off what Libby's calling first, and the outside hitters have to call after what she calls. So there's a lot of communication. There's a lot of responsibility on those middles. And she's just getting better and better. And power is starting to come. But what I'm really impressed with right now is her volleyball IQ. She knows the game plan. She knows where the openings are, and she sees them really well. And then on the court, she's turned into a really good leader, where she's pretty much a rock, making sure kids are communicating and holding things together for us too. So, and blocking, if we think back to the first couple matches, we were almost non-existent blocking, and Libby's worked really hard with the entire crew to get better at blocking.
And then finally, the setter, and that's your daughter, Tenley Budenhagen. She's had multiple awards here coming up, and she just kind of took over when Jada Schillingstad graduated, and I don't think we ever missed a beat here the last 3 years.
Well, Tenley at 5'5", when you look at her, have her walk into the gym, you think, oh, she's going to play front row. She's got like a 26, 27-inch vertical. On 2 feet, she's around 24. And so she's got a little bit more in her. I mean, she had some pretty good blocks coming down the stretch here too. She gets the block with some pretty good blockers at the middle hitters, but she's doing a lot of that, setting the block, and then she can get in her hands in a lot of things where she's either deflecting it or sending it back. But so she's got a good vertical, but then I think, and I'm not just saying this because I'm the mom, because really when we are stepping the volleyball court, she is the setter and I am the coach. And we've never really crossed that line. But she might be the best setter that's ever come through here in high school, just because of what she can do with a pass that isn't on the mark. She's run the fastest offense we've ever been able to run. And granted, she's got some really good teammates surrounding her. She's been able to play with some really good passers, Miss Volleyball, Haven Hines, and so forth. But it's what she does out of system that just maybe divides her from the rest. And then she also is a defensive setter. I mean, she will not shy away from playing defense, and she feels bad when she maybe releases a little bit too quickly and goes up to the net too quickly and doesn't play defense like she knows she can. So I think she's just an all-around setter. She's just good, and she just makes the team look good. She makes the coaches look good. And I'm very, very grateful to have been able to coach a player such as Tenley.
Well, let's wrap it up here. 16-4, heading with the number 3 seed in the state tournament. For all the unknowns this year, we're right where we need to be. We just need to get another week in and just get this season wrapped up the way we want to.
Yeah, reality is heavy. This whole season has been heavy. I think when the season is over and we get through Thanksgiving and Tyann's wedding, I might face plant for about 2 weeks. Maybe it's because I'm a mom, or maybe it's because I'm a female, and maybe it's because, a lot of these kids you just get really, really close to throughout this whole journey. But the whole responsibility of COVID has been really heavy on everybody. Players, I can't imagine the anxiety. Though we've talked a whole lot, Jeff, about not operating anxiety, you do. You know it's there. They've had to sacrifice a ton. you know, we haven't had a team dinner. We have not had a team dinner that we've really been able to enjoy. We haven't had team functions. So we've had to adjust quite a bit. In the summer, Zoom was our most contact that we had with the kids for a while. And it's been an interesting year. We always talk about when a season begins that they get to write their own journey, their own story, and it's going to be a good one. And we don't talk a whole lot about wins or losses. This is going to be a journey that no one ever saw coming. I mean, in my lifetime, I couldn't fathom anything like this. I didn't even know there was a pandemic back in the 1918s or 1917, whenever it was. I didn't know that. And so they're going to have stories to tell, and I'm just so proud of basically the whole state that we've been able to play. I'm so proud of our conference that we've been able to play, and we haven't had too many hiccups, and I'm just really, really proud of our kids. Everybody's going through it, but I'm really proud of the way our kids have handled it. We've come through pretty well unscathed, and we want that to continue now for another week. We just have another week, get through Thanksgiving, and then we'll move on to basketball and worry about basketball. But right now our biggest focus is just trying to get through the state tournament. You know, they always say now the state tournament is just the cherry and the whipped cream on top of a really good tasting cake. And we're going to try to make the best of it. We're going to try to have fun the best we can. I'm not quite sure how the logistics of everything is going to work yet, but we're just going to go and try to have fun and play it by ear and just try to play some really good volleyball and see what happens and just let the chips fall.
Shelley Budnigan, head coach here on Tiger Volleyball. Huron is headed back to the state AA tournament. 12th year in a row, now the longest streak in AA of consecutive appearance. Huron with the 3 seed will play number 6 seed, Brandon Valley. It'll be a 5 o'clock start. We'll be on the air about 4:40 with the pre-match next Thursday on Tiger 95. We'll wrap up a Huron Tiger football season next on Dakota Sports KOKK.
The Huron Tigers on Dakota Sports KIJV, 1340 AM and 95.3 FM.
Set point, Budnigan serving. Johnson can't get a handle on it. Another ace, and Huron takes set two. Huron up, 2 sets to none.
Huron Tiger Volleyball is making their 12th consecutive trip to the state AA tournament. Thursday, 5 o'clock, Huron will play Brandon Valley. Pre-match will begin at 4:40. Thursday from Brookings on Dakota Sports.
Tiger 95 and 1340 KIJV are your home for Huron Tiger Sports.
Just imagine the body weight you always wanted, better health, being stronger, having more energy, and overall feeling of well-being. The first step is the Nordby Center for Recreation. Tour the facility, pick up a schedule of activities, and find out information on the membership that best fits your needs. Wellness, health, weight control, strength, and boosted metabolism. They can all be achieved at the Nordby Center. Join one of Huron's best-kept secrets, the Nordby Center for Recreation in Huron.
With nearly 130 stores in 12 states, Slumberland has the buying power to bring you the best values from the nation's top furniture brands. Slumberland is America's number one dealer for Lazy Boy furniture. Slumberland is also the Midwest's largest retailer for Sealy, Simmons, Stearns & Foster, and Tempur-Pedic mattresses. Slumberland of Huron is completely locally owned and operated. Our staff, including sales and delivery, is made up entirely of your neighbors in Huron. So for the best brands at the best prices, along with truly local service, turn to Slumberland Furniture of Huron.
Dakota Sports is committed to excellence in sports broadcasting.
We're back here on Dakota Sports Saturday one last time with Huron Tiger football coach Scott Spanton. Huron finished out a 5-6 season, losing in the semifinals to Brookings a week ago, and now we're set into the off season. Lose a good solid group of seniors. There's 12 seniors on the team this year. And first off, coach, before we're going to talk each about them individually, but that 12 senior, you know, this is a group that I think they, for the most part, they are all out for 4 years of football. We just need more kids like them, and maybe double that for a class, and you know that's kind of where we want to get.
Right, talk to them after the game, about the fact that with the younger group that was in the locker room as well, and these guys are an example of guys that invested their time, invested their efforts, invested in the program, led by example, had all different types of leadership. These guys characterized a lot of different areas when it comes to their own individual methods to do that. So again, as a senior group, having them back, you know, after being juniors last year and coming back for a second year, got to learn a little bit more about them, build some relationships with them. So, you know, a great senior group. Like you said, you know, hopefully we can build on that in the future as far as having more seniors. Again, this group was a special group because, again, they went through a very difficult season with everything going on with the COVID. You know, their attitudes always stayed positive, and they stuck together. And as I said, you know, they were a great group when it came down to the leadership aspect.
Well, just go down one by one and just go numerically on the roster. We'll start off with number 16, Juan Urena. Basically played wide receiver this year. I think a few special teams, too. Of course, his highlight was the ricochet catch in Sturgis for a touchdown. You know, that was, you know, that was a play where I know you said he was supposed to be nowhere near there, but he saw the pass go down the field to Max Kranzler, thought maybe I can get down there and get a block. Instead, he gets the deflection and the score. And, you know, that's the type of, you know, you just got to be thinking out there sometimes, and Juan did that.
Right. Juan's, you know, again, you know, physically, you know, he's not the biggest guy, obviously, but he's got some attributes that he can play to his advantage. Very quick. Got, you know, he improved on his route running, improved on catching the football, and that was a direct reflection upon probably his best game in his career was the Sturgis game. You mentioned the ricochet pass for a touchdown, which was good to see him have that opportunity to get in the end zone, but he had three or four other receptions that game, so that was by far his best football game. And again, contributed on the practice field on both sides as far as giving us a look on scout team. And then also, again, when he got his opportunity, he made the best of it.
Then Carter Hott asked to do a lot of things this year. He was a corner. I think he played a little safety. He was both wide receiver and running back. And, you know, I was a kid that just bided his time, played quite a bit last year, but just kept building his play time and, of course, didn't hardly ever leave the field here this year.
Right, and you know, I was fortunate to have Carter in a class last year, my physical education class and strength training. I got to know him a lot more and also see his athletic ability that, you know, really didn't dawn on me until I had him in class, how good an athlete he is. Unfortunately, his junior year, you know, he had a little mishap with some injuries. But again, credit to him. He stuck it out, playing through a lot of injuries and pain last year. This year he comes back. Very big contributor on both sides of the ball, as you mentioned. He started on both sides. Had a very productive, you know, season on both sides of the football. One of our better coverage guys in the secondary. So, again, you know, if he puts his mind to it and he has the passion, he may have an opportunity to play at some level after his high school career.
Ryan James, number 30, and he was just one of my favorite players. You just kind of forgot he was out there. He went and did his job. He was a linebacker last year for the most part. Moved into the starting lineup about the second or third game of the year. Then this year felt, well, we have a need there at a free safety, and he pretty much manned that down, led us in interceptions. And again, you just didn't think about him until he made a play.
Well, that's Ryan. I mean, he just goes about his business, shows up again every day. All you ever hear out of him, yes sir, no sir. Very quiet young man, but again, he's put in his time in the weight room. You know, you look at his lower body, he's probably one of the best squatters we have. So again, he's invested that time. Did a great job for us in the secondary this year. Led the team in interceptions. So like I said, you know, probably could have had an opportunity to play a little bit more on offense, but you know, it was one of those deals where every day he showed up, gave us all he could. Again, very, very well-mannered young man. You know, again, just like all the other ones, very difficult to see them guys, you know, move on. But, again, proud of his efforts. And, like I said, very respectful young man. You know, like I said, you know, just did a great job for us in the secondary this year.
Then Colby Hott, Carter Hott's twin brother, if I remember right, he's the Hott twin that did not play last year, had the shoulder surgery, and boy, he wanted to play at any cost this year, and I think he played hurt a lot.
Right, he had the elbow surgery last year, and you know, another one that could have easily went a different direction after that, but it came out, invested the time again to get his body into shape to play football, and very big contributor again. One of the biggest, I guess one of the side notes was the fact that, You know, I finally figured out how to tell them apart.
And that was going to be my next question, by the way.
And that helped. That helped a little bit by sometimes they'd change their hairstyle and their hair color, so that helped quite a bit. But I finally got a handle on that. But other than when they were in a jersey, I could tell them. But again, you know, those two are great young men. You know, very well, again, mannered as far as respectful. Pretty quiet demeanor. But again, overall, when they showed up to play football, they did an excellent job competing at a high level. So again, nothing but good things to say about both of them.
So you are saying if both of them walked into the room right now, just wearing regular clothes, you could tell them apart.
I could tell them apart, finally. It only took me 2 years, but I could tell them apart.
Move on to number 40, Tyson Lean. He was one of our heart and soul guys, I felt. Ran the ball, had over 700 yards rushing. Was in that linebacker crew along with Derek Simmonsma. We know with his state wrestling title last year, he's a great athlete. Hopefully the injury from Saturday or Friday night does not slow him down for wrestling.
Right. You know, there's you know, I don't know I can come up with enough adjectives to describe what Tyson has meant to this program. You know, he's one that invests his heart and soul into things that he does, and when he does it, he wants to do it at a high level as far as competing. And that's evidenced by, again, as you mentioned, being a state wrestling champion, especially in South Dakota. I remember that back from my Melbank days, how competitive it is, how difficult it is to get to that stage and then accomplish one goal that I know he had set in his mind. And he has many other goals that he will attain because of the work ethic and the thing that he brings to the table every day and his approach about things. So, again, he has an opportunity, I'm sure he will, at the next level, deciding whether or not he wants to wrestle or play football or whatever it is, he'll be successful.
Number 51, Max Kretschmar, played O-line and D-line, and I would imagine maybe that type of kid, if he's like his brother Sam, and I think he is, you maybe got five words out of him all year.
Yes, sir, another one that's very, you know, very quiet. But again, you know, kind of sound like the same thing with all these guys, and that is, you know, very respectful, well-mannered young man. You know, again, just showed up every day, didn't say a lot, just went about his business. Again, another one invested time in the weight room. He was always there in the summer putting in the time. So, you know, Max is another one that, you know, going to hate to see go, but, you know, it's one of those deals where he has a bright future as well based upon what he's done in his career here, at not only in football, but, again, he's great academically. So, again, he's got a bright future as far as where he chooses to go to college and whatever he's going to pursue for his career.
We move to number 68. That's Amu. Didn't get a lot of time this year, but as a senior, he wanted to be out there. I think he was learning the game as he went. And, you know, those are kids that are very valuable on the roster.
Right. You know, he's one that, you know, had probably no idea what football was even about when he showed up last year. Probably didn't even know how to put on some of the equipment. But, you know, another one that, you know, you like to have those kids around that, you know, just enjoy being a part of the game, enjoying the atmosphere, enjoying the camaraderie with his teammates. Once again, you hardly ever saw his expression change on his face from one day to the next. He's just happy to be out there and be a part of it. Did a great job for us, undersized, you know, giving us a look on scout teams primarily. But again, you know, you got to give him credit, you know, sticking it out for 2 years and again, you know, very happy to have him out there.
Sebastian Cardona, number 70. We'll go with the Cardona twins next. I group them up, but I imagine they probably don't like being grouped together all the time. Sebastian Cardona, both of them played extensive minutes 3 years ago on the run, or 2 years ago on the run to the Dome. But though, now we've mentioned a lot of quiet guys. That's not Sebastian Cardona.
Right. They, you know, I've got to know the twins, you know, pretty good this last year, especially. They did some stuff helping us move when we were moving. And, again, you got to give credit to their parents. Their whole makeup of their family is unbelievable. They've basically lived 30 years beyond what I would ever imagine at that age as far as what they're about and who they are and their faith. Everything about them is nothing but positive things, how they carry themselves. You know, around school, they do so many things outside of school with groups and organizations.
They're very big fine arts.
Right, and they have talent beyond you can even imagine. We went and visited one of the churches a couple weekends ago. They invited us, and they basically led the entire service. So to think of a, you know, back in my age at that time, I'm going, you know, they are so far ahead in every phase of their life that nothing that comes their way is going to be insurmountable for them to tackle. So pleasure to be around both of them. Again, the same deal where it took me a long time to figure out, unless they were in a uniform, I really struggled with those two until I finally found some features that I could kind of, and we had a little inside joke because every day we checked their temp, they'd come in, they'd say, all right, who is it? And I'd kind of say, all right, well, let me look at your forehead or your whatever. And so that's basically about all I could do to try to distinguish between the two of them because their personalities are so similar as well. And just, again, they're always upbeat. They're always positive. So we're going to miss those guys tremendously. Great leadership. But, again, on and off the field, that's exactly what you want as far as a student athlete.
And then Tristan Cardona, I'll just throw this in. You probably have never heard it because you're always in the locker room, but I do a feature called Meet the Tigers in my pregame where all the seniors just introduce themselves for football. Here is the exact quote for Tristan. I'm number 77, Tristan Cardona, O-line, D-line, part-time kicker, full-time cheerleader.
That's about right. Like I said, I can almost sit here and echo everything I just said about his brother because really they're so similar in so many respects.
I hear every once in a while they don't get along.
Well, I'm sure they have some things behind the scenes that I'm sure, any kind of relationship with your brother and whatnot, especially being twins. But, again, nothing but good things to say about Tristan. A little different personality, but for the most part, what can I say? I mean, if you had a son, much less twins, they're everything you would hope for. Again, what they do much beyond football is so impressive, and I'm still in awe of what they do and what they've been through. They told me a little bit about their family background and whatnot and what they've been through and how they've gotten to where they're at. So I have nothing but respect for both of those guys. And like I said, their family did a tremendous job raising them, and they have nothing but bright future ahead of them. And they'll be in some leadership role no matter what they're in.
Well, move number 86, Ong Min came out this year to be our place kicker. We knew he could kick the ball. I think he had 30-yard-plus field goals during the season. There was a lot of teaching going on the football basics there, though.
Right. It was a pleasant surprise when he showed up because we needed some help in our kicking game. We had two kickers last year that graduated, and they both did a tremendous job. So replacing them, we knew was going to be difficult. So it was nice that he showed up. Sharing time with soccer, which is a passion of his as well.
And all conference.
And like you said, just getting him, you could tell all kinds of funny stories about just understanding what the whistle meant, how to line up, much less tell him where to kick the ball. Then you had to describe exactly what that was like. When it came down to kicking the football, that's what he understood, and he did a great job for us. Unfortunately, at times we didn't have him there all the time when it came down to his, schedule. But for the most part, again, for what he came out to do, he helped us tremendously. Like you said, come away with three field goals, helped us in the extra point part of it. But especially in the kickoff part, he had the leg to where sometimes he could get it to the end zone. And so, like I said, very, very blessed to have him come out this year and help us out in our special teams.
Number 87, Tegan Fitzer, didn't really get much, if any, playing time at all, both sophomore and junior year due to injuries. And I knew you had said right after the first game of the year, you really didn't know what you were going to get from Tegan because he hadn't played for so long, but he was solid there. He hardly left the field till he broke his leg against Pier.
Right. During the summer, last year, obviously with his injury, didn't really get a grasp of what he could do. But again, a testament to him as far as his character and his commitment to be out there every day last year, knowing that he's not going to step on the field and play, but supporting his teammates and his friends. And then this year coming out in the summer, got a glimpse of what he could do in some of our 7-on-7 that we did amongst ourselves and just our workouts during the summer, which was good to see. I knew he was a good athlete. Didn't really know exactly what he could do on the football field, but he was a pleasant surprise. And unfortunately, again, as you said, in the Pier game, he went down with an injury to where he couldn't compete the rest of the year. I know that hurt him as much as anybody. Like I said, very, very big contributor, and you got to give him his hats off again about sticking with it when it could have been very easy not to even come out based upon his injury in the previous years. So, Teagan is another one that doesn't say a whole lot, but he just comes out every day, works his tail off, and was very productive when he was on the field.
And finally, number 88, Derek Simmons. I mentioned heart and soul with Tyson Lane. Derek Simmons, my heart and soul.
Well, if you could, you know, again, there's, I don't have enough superlatives to talk about when it comes down to Derek. Another one that's a prime example of, you know, reaping the rewards of when you invest yourself totally during the summer, whole year round for that matter. He's up there in the mornings, even during the season, lifting weights early in the morning, makes the total commitment. You know, all he wants to do is have this team be successful. That's all he wants. That's his main goal. It's not about him. It's about everybody and this program thriving. So he plays his heart out every single night for 48 minutes, whether he's hurt or not. Sometimes you won't admit it. But when you mold somebody and put him in a football uniform and in pads, if you had 70 more like him, you know, it's just hard to see him go, you know, go as far as being a senior and everything he's brought to the table for here on Tiger football. A great young man, conducts himself very well, and there's no doubt in my mind that he's going to have an opportunity to play on Saturday somewhere.
So that's our group, 12 seniors here, so always hard to say goodbye to those, but you also move forward, look ahead. We'll have our junior group going to be seniors next year. A lot of them have been playing. We'll have now 2 years of varsity under their belt, so what they want to accomplish next year is going to be up to them.
Right. You know, a lot of those kids played last year as sophomores, you know, and getting indoctrinated into this level of football as a sophomore, hopefully you learn and grow from those experiences and you kind of reevaluate what you need to do to try to improve yourself as a football player and this team as overall. I think they made some strides doing that in their transition to their junior year, but they still, you know, there's still some, you know, room for improvement there when it comes down to, again, getting in the weight room. They, you know, like I said to all of them, you have got to be able to get the time and make the time, regardless of what your schedule is, to change your body. That's something that we've got to address and continue to address because, again, you may not always be able to control genetically your height and so on and so forth, but you can definitely change your body. That's something that's going to be an emphasis for all of our kids going into the off season. I know they're going into other sports, but that being said, everybody's doing that. So you got to find the time and make the time and commitment to get in the weight room. But, you know, do they have the talent level? Yes, they do. It's just a matter of, again, investing that time in the weight room to structure their bodies. And I think if they do that, they'll understand and play with more confidence and they'll reap the rewards. Just as we spoke about some of these seniors, they did that and they reaped the rewards from that. And, you know, 10, 20 years from now, some of that investment they made and how they took care of their bodies will pay off, you know, later down in their adulthood when they build those habits. It's habit forming. I know it was for me growing up, you know, basically it's like eating breakfast. You know, once you invest that time in the weight room, it becomes habit forming and then you feel bad about when you don't get in there. So, you know, but, you know, we just got to try to continue to improve this program by doing that part of it, but then also, again, continuing to try to improve our numbers. And, again, we've got a good young class coming up as freshmen. Middle school had success this year, so, you know, we just got to continue to build those guys up in our program and keep them out and keep invested. And like I said, if we can do that, then I think the future is bright for here in football.
Scott Spatton, head coach here on Tiger Football. A salute to his senior class, numbering 12 this year, and also looking to the future after a 5-6 season and also a third consecutive trip to the state semifinals. That'll wrap up Dakota Sports Saturday for today. A quiet weekend on our local scene. Not a lot happening statewide. We do have a couple of state football titles coming up this afternoon, I guess. But other than that, we're onward to state volleyball next week, and we'll end the fall sports season. Mike Henriksen, South Dakota Sports History, coming up shortly. Up next, Territorial Rodeo Update, brought to you by Premier Equipment of Huron. Thanks for listening to Dakota Sports Saturday on KOKK.
Time now for the Territorial Rodeo Update, brought to you by Legendary.